Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, beautiful people. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. Happy to be here with you today. For those of you in the COVID swirl of hell, where your children don't go to school anymore, my kids went back to school today. So we'll see how that goes, right? There's no way to know how anything's going to go. I saw the funniest meme. Wait, let me see if I can pull it up because it was just really funny. Because you know what? Listen, I feel the need that we need to laugh at ourselves and laugh at whatever the ridiculousness of any situation is. I personally speak only for myself, feel the need to laugh at things sometimes because everything is just so ridiculous. I don't know what other word I can tell you. Okay, hold on. I think I have it. Ready? Okay. So it's a woman named Tiffany C. Lee. She looks like she's verified on Twitter, so I guess she's something to know. I don't know her. But anyway, she said, "Stay indoors, but also return in person. Wear a mask, not that one, the expensive one that you can't find. Take rapid tests, which you also can't find. But if you find them, don't buy them. Rapid tests don't work. You need PCR. There are zero appointments in your area." So I like that shit because I think it's funny. And I think it is absurd the way we've all had to live for, I guess it's been a million years now. So anyway, if you are feeling the weariness, I am with you. If you are feeling frustrated, I am with you. If you're feeling peace, I'm also with you because I have all of those feelings in any given day. So here we are. My kids are back at school. I am here with you, and I'm here to bring you an awesome interview that I did with Betsy. Betsy is a person who posted in the success stories thread of my Journal Speak page. It is my online community, a thriving, amazing group of thousands of people that are in conversation about this work. If you feel alone, if you need support, go to Facebook, click on Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs, LCSW. It's a private group. I have several incredible moderators. We keep it an incredibly loving, supportive, kind community. We really do our best. We have very, very little issue with that. So if you're looking for a place to discuss this work, to ask even like really embarrassing questions, please come to the community because it's a private group. Nobody sees the posts but you and the people who we've invited in. Like I said, it's a great supportive group. So anyway, she posted on the success stories thread, which is in the pinned posts. If you ever want to read just one group of success stories, even though there's so many others. And I loved her post, and I'm not going to repeat it because in the interview, I actually read it back to her because of how it impacted me. And so she decided to come on the podcast. I invited her and she said yes. And we talk about her back pain, the minor car accident that started it, which I think looking back, the car accident really had nothing to do with the back pain except putting her over the edge of her emotional reservoir, which we talk about all the time on this podcast and in my work, and what then led her down the route of medical testing, revealing spondylolisthesis, which is also my diagnosis, horrible back pain, trouble functioning in everyday life, neuropathy, and despair, like we all feel, and then doing this work and realizing that her diagnosis was never the reason for her pain, same as me, and now living a life of limitless possibilities. So it's a beautiful interview, and I look forward to sharing it with you. Also want to remind you guys that one of my partners in this work is the Curable app. The Curable app, C-U-R-A-B-L-E. It's the reason a lot of you guys find me. I am the reason a lot of you guys find Curable, an incredible partner to this work that I teach. It is an app. It is always there for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They discuss the brain science in real detail so you can understand what I'm talking about here. Why are pain, although with an emotional / trauma related genesis, appears in the body? They talk about the brain science. They have incredible interviews with different thought leaders in this field, myself included. They have writing exercises. They have guided meditations. It's a beautiful app. I love the people that created it. And I love that they're a partner for this podcast. So if you want to try Curable for 2 weeks totally free with no obligations, you can access all that stuff for 2 whole weeks and know whether or not you want to purchase the app. The code is www.getcurable.com/Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E. They will know I sent you and you will get your 2 weeks free. So do take advantage of that. I really, really appreciate having partners like Curable in helping people to cure their chronic pain through this work, which is absolutely possible even for you. Yes, you. I'm looking right at you, even for you. All right, my loves. Well, if you want to come, a lot of people have been writing me and DMing me and saying, thank you, Nicole, especially at my Instagram, which is at Nicole Sachs LCSW. And people are saying all the time, thank you so much for this post, for this reminder. How do I change? And the answer is, if you want to change, if you want my help, come learn with me. My virtual retreat, May 13th through the 15th, includes my Freedom from Chronic Pain course and my 4 original meditations. If you sign up today, you get those things today. And then we all spend the weekend together in May. And then I have 2 in-person retreats, North Carolina, April 8th through the 10th, and in New York at the Omega Institute, August 7th through the 12th. Come learn with me. It will change your freaking life. It just simply will. And I would love to meet you and to spend time with you. So these are all options for you. If you need more support, I love you. If you need help, please go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Lots of free information to help you get yourself immersed in this work. Okay. I hope that you are well today. If you are not well today, I hope that you can find a little inspiration with me in the next hour. And I send you big love. And until next time, enjoy this interview. Hello, everybody. This is Nicole. Welcome to the pod. I'm here today with Betsy. Welcome, Betsy.
Hello.
So Betsy wrote, essentially I have this Journal Speak page on Facebook. It's called Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs. It's free. It's a private group. The only people who see the posts are the people in the group. And whenever I'm looking for inspiration or kind of delving back into who might want to share on this podcast, I take a look at the group and I have this this post that's a pin post and it's called Success Stories. So I was looking at it a couple weeks ago and just trying to gather some awesome energy for this podcast to share some inspiration with you guys. And I saw Betsy's post, and I actually, Betsy, took a paragraph from it that I'd like to read as the intro to this podcast because it inspired me so, and it made me feel so good about the kind of energy I want to share with people who might be struggling. So I'm going to read you to you, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
Okay, so Betsy, this is what you wrote. It took me years to walk into the woods. Nonetheless, this work has allowed me to slowly walk out with greater peace, love for myself, less fear, and truth. A year ago at this time, I was in utter pain. I was seeking out healers of all sorts to take away the pain. It wasn't until I happened upon Dr. Sarno's work and in turn found yours that this body of work has truly allowed me to find freedom from chronic pain. If you are questioning your growth, living in a place of fear, or wondering when this will end, I am here to tell you that there is hope. I mean, come on, girl. What's better than that? You threw it down.
So much. There's so much hope. There really is.
Okay. So, Betsy, I will, with that beautiful introduction, I will just open it to you to tell us your story, however it makes sense to you, because, you know, we're really needing some good stories and some good inspiration.
Yeah, thank you. So I might jump around a little, but I'm going to start with the closest timeline of meeting you, because that's the work that really changed my life. So in October of 2019, I had a car accident. And then after the car accident, and it was literally the smallest car accident, I rear-ended somebody because the sun was in my eyes. And I mean, obviously I have a newer car, so it had a lot of damage. So it looked like it was worse than it actually was.
Okay.
So from that point on, I was like having some back pain and having some hip pain. But so I started like going to chiropractors, and that wasn't really working. I was still in pain. I had to change my workout routines. I teach yoga. I teach Pilates. I'm also very active. I've always been a runner. I've always been just, I like to lift weights. I like to stay active. So that threw a whole loop in my life, because that's what helps me feel calm. My workout routine, my yoga routine, like my meditation practice, like all of that has always like helped me like be present in the world, especially as a school teacher. Like it helps me get ready in the morning and be calm. So I wasn't able to do the things that, you know, brought me joy and brought me peace. And so I thought that all the answers were outside of my physical body. And I would see somebody and it wouldn't work. And then I'd see somebody else and it wouldn't work. And the pain was still there. And I don't remember.
So it was back pain, essentially? Where was your pain manifesting?
It was in my back. And interestingly enough, like I did end up going to my medical clinic, and they wanted to give me some steroids and some painkillers. And I'm really not a person that wants to do that. It's just not for me. And so I eventually got an MRI, and they did diagnose me with spondylolisthesis.
Interesting. I know that one.
I know. I know. It took me a really long time to figure out how to pronounce it, even though I'm an English teacher. So yeah, I was like, what is this spondylolisthesis? But anyway, I just one day sat and just started Googling all kinds of random things. I can't even tell you what I was Googling at that point. But Dr. Sarno popped up, and then eventually I led to you. And then Dr. Sarno, I was like, I know that name. Well, I went and searched all through my books, and I had two of his books in my bookshelf.
Right.
Because one of my yoga teachers from like back in the late 2000s had mentioned him. And so I remember I purchased that book. So October, November, December, it was kind of bad. Like I had some, like a lot of tingling. I couldn't walk for very long without getting neuropathy in my legs. So I'd have to stop. So like I said, doing the things I enjoyed, like trail running, wasn't fun. So I went to see, like I said, I found you. I started listening to everything I could that was free content. You have so much great free content. And I always tell people that I'm speaking to about this topic. Anyway, so I went to Chicago. I live in Indiana. And you and Dr. Strax were doing a workshop. It was a weekend workshop.
Oh, you came to that?
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, wow. Okay. That was a great one.
Yeah, it was February, I think, of 2020, right?
It was literally 3 minutes before the pandemic. Yes.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, I was so grateful that I was able to go, because after that, all hell broke loose. But yeah, I learned so much from you. And I've always been like a writer, a journaler. But the whole concept of journal speak just blew my mind. And it changed everything. Like I would... So like most people that are into your work, we're good students, right?
Yes.
I was a good student. I woke up every morning at like 4 a.m. because my work starts at 7:30. So I would wake up at 4 a.m. I would do my meditation or my journal speak in my meditation. And then I would do like my physical routine that I like to do in the mornings, which had changed during that time because of my back pain. But so I was very diligent for a very long time with my journal speak and my meditation. And And then eventually, like, my pain just went away. I can't explain it. I don't know when it happened. But I heard you say, I've heard you say this before, and I heard you say it recently on another podcast, is that journal speak becomes like this language in your mind. Yes. It's like in the fore, it's in the foreground. And so, like, I use it all the time. Like, and I don't necessarily sit down and do a journal speak practice every morning now. I don't. I'm all honesty, I haven't sat down to do a journal speak practice in at least a month. Anytime something like comes up, if it's like an issue with my partner, with my son, and I don't mean like an issue, like something big, I just mean anything that like is tingling and it's speaking yes. to my heart, like, okay, something's not right. I need to sit down and I need to write, I need to write it out. So, I can't say that I've had any major issues in a really long time, because anytime I feel a tinge of pain, I speak to it.
Yes.
You know, like it's maybe like 6 months ago or so, I remember I had a little tinge of pain in my butt. Yeah, it was that pain in the ass, yes. you know? And I was like, oh, it's my son. He's being a pain in my ass. And like, I mean, he's an awesome kid, but he's, you know, first year in college, and, you know, he's trying to traverse his own life. And it's hard when you love your kids so much and you, you know, you just want the best for them, and you hold, sometimes we hold it in, and it shows up in physical pain. So, yeah. So after,
well, let me jump in for a moment, because I want to talk about this journal speak thing you brought up. Cause you know, one of the things that happens for me as I walk this earth is I get a lot of people asking me questions. You know, I'll get emails and DMs and comments on things I do on Instagram, and you know, like I'm barraged with personal questions. So whenever I hear someone's personal question be brought up in a public forum, I'm going to jump all over it, because I get this question a lot and I don't always have time, of course, to write everyone back. So people ask me often, are you telling me, Nicole, that I have to journal every day for the rest of my life? And I say, absolutely not. So let's talk about that, since Betsy just brought it up so beautifully for me. Here is the deal. The reason that Betsy's pain went away, you know, magically, I'll put that in air quotes, is because this is brain science. So she had a repressed reservoir of triggers from stuff that happened when she was young, and daily stressors, and a perfectionistic, self-critical personality. I'm just throwing it out there because I'm sure I'm right.
It's true. You're right.
I'm sure I'm right. So I'm just throwing it out there. And, yes. And she had all this built up, but like most human beings on planet Earth, like almost all of us, she had no idea it was there, and she had no idea that it had any connection to her physical back pain that was basically keeping her totally stuck in life. And so she did the work. Okay, so when we do the work, it is essentially taking stock. You know, all of this can be learned by going on my website. Like you said, I have tons of free resources. So when you do the work, here's the thing. You have to do it diligently at first. Because at first, this reservoir is so thick and it's so deep, and there's so much there that you have to uncover. But once you start understanding that the pain signals stop firing, then you just gently become a person who lives, and you have journal speak as a second language, as if you speak two languages, that lives in the, I wouldn't even say the background or the foreground, it just lives with you. It's just
it
part,
does.
Yeah, it's just part of your self-talk. And once you get that, yes, occasionally, like you and I are the same now, Betsy, and I say this to people all the time. I may be the creator of this work, you know, and I may be the one who's speaking of it, but I'm just like you now. You've arrived where I am, which is we're human beings, and life mm-hmm. is stressful sometimes, and I'll go months without journal speaking, and I have that the voice living, you know, aside alongside me. But then I will be going through a rather difficult time, and I'll be getting tinges in my back or headaches or a little hip pain or stomach stuff. And I'll say, all right, it's enough. I'm going to sit down and do like a really freaking big session. I'm really going to tell it all. And I'll do my journal speak, and I'll delete it just like I teach everyone to do. And then sometimes I won't have to do it again for a few weeks, or sometimes I'm having something persistent and I will do it for a few days in a row. But that's, I just want to throw it out there to you guys that like, that's the way this is. At the beginning, it does have to be diligent. How long do you think, Betsy, just, and although nobody's on a timeline, did you do it regularly?
I was just trying to think that because I actually did do your Cure for Chronic Pain, your content that you have. I did the course, and it was when you were offering it to a group for like buy one person buys it and the other person, like there was a special going on. So it must've been around Thanksgiving or Christmas of 20.
Okay.
But I had already started like journaling after I met you in February of 20. Like I was doing the work because you taught me how to do it. And then I purchased the course and I did the course. I posted a lot of things on the group. Like I was pretty active in the group on and off for a while. And now like I'm hardly in there at all.
But that's fair because, you know, you're living your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not that, I mean, I will stop in there occasionally and like, I love to hear people's stories or, you know, see someone's posts, but in all honesty, social media, I don't love social media, but I love it for things like that, like the groups that where people can find healing and connection, that sort of thing. So I did that. And do you know, I mean, you usually offer that around Thanksgiving, right? That special.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that would have been like Thanksgiving of 20. And then like 21, I honestly don't remember having a diligent practice in 21. I mean, it was on and off. Like, it wasn't like every morning I was waking up at 4 o'clock. I stopped waking up that early and I would do it whenever I felt like I needed to.
Yeah. So it's just kind of a natural, it's a natural progression. And so mm-hmm. I guess the reason I wanted to like spend so much time talking about it is because people ask me that a lot. And I think oftentimes they're scared because nobody wants to think they're going to have to do something for the rest of their life forever. And it's not the case. However, having said that, you know, when I think about something like exercise, so I'm going to be 50 in May and my physical health in terms of the way my body looks and feels is important to me. And so do I have to get up and exercise every day of my life? Well, maybe not every day, but I also can't just completely let it go. Like what I've done thus far is only helpful if I keep doing it. So I really think in general, it's also about coming to peace with the fact that sometimes we have to do shit that we don't want to do to feel the way we want to feel.
Yeah, absolutely. It's true. But I love it. Like, it's very cathartic for me. Like I know people, some people like to handwrite, and I have done that quite a bit, but I really like to type because if I'm really pissed, like I just like to just hit the keyboard really hard. You know, and I actually did this with my students one time and the way I presented it to them was I just called it negative writing, which I believe some people call it negative writing, to explain that, you know, you just need to get this out. And then we're all going to rip up everything that we wrote and we're going to throw it in the trash. And I love your analogy of like, you don't look back in the toilet when you, right. I mean, some people do, but, you know, you just throw it away, get rid of it. Like, it's okay.
All right. Well, so, thank you for engaging in that, but I didn't mean to interrupt you. So Betsy, what else did you want to share about your journey?
So I did want to say, once I understood what TMS was and, you know, how the pain was not in my mind, but the answers are not in my physical body. I really thought back on my life and I have suffered from this all of my life. You know, I mean, I had IBS in the late 90s. I had a lot of stomach issues through the 2000s. And I mean, that's all under control. And some of it was like gluten and wheat, but a lot of it was anxiety and stress and me holding everything inside. You know, I have some family of origin issues that I don't need to go and talk about them all right now. But, you know, when I look back, I see all the TMS in my life. So just to kind of jump around a little bit, I do remember I was laying on the floor and it must have been in like 2014 and I had horrible back pain. And I went and saw a chiropractor then and he fixed me up real quick, but it was somebody that I really cared for and trusted. He's since passed away. set a good relationship with him. And that was really the only time I saw a chiropractor until I had the issues in 2019. So basically, without jumping around too much, I've suffered with this all my life, you know, and I suffered with anger and I suffered with anxiety, but I covered it up. I stuffed it. You know, I think I said earlier, I'm a yoga teacher. So when I found yoga, like the physical aspect of yoga and meditation really helped me to calm a lot of the anger that I carried from childhood. You know, so that was a great modality for that. But the journal speak just like, for me, that was like the fix. That was like the big fix. And I know I have a long way to go on my journey in life, but I feel like I have some really good tools to help me. And that's kind of where I'm at now.
You know,
just living life.
I know. And it's so funny because, you know, it's that old adage, when we don't have our health, we have nothing. And it's true, because it's not that we're journaling and we're getting in touch with our mind-body system in order to have a perfect life. We're just doing it so we don't have to only worry about our health issues. Because when you're not well, it's really the only thing you can think about. I mean, imagine, you know, I mean, that's why when you look at the brain and the nervous system and you see the brilliance of TMS and the brilliance of if it determines that we are going to die, and I say this not with any sort of hyperbole, I believe it is absolutely true that the perception of the brain and the nervous system is we will die if we look into those darkest rooms and turn on the light. If we look at that shadow side of, you know, the way it's felt to be alive and the way it's felt to be in our personalities and how we actually feel about our relationships in the darker way. Because like you said, when you call it negative writing, it's not the whole story. And journal speak does not stay true, which we can get to more in a moment.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, but I mean, when you think about it, it's like if the nervous system and the brain feels that that would be potentially a risk to our survival to feel those things, then of course, putting up that wall right in front of our face of horrible pain or neuropathy or crippling anxiety or depression that makes you feel like you can't get out of bed – these are actually protective mechanisms, and they work.
Yeah,
they work. They work beautifully. So, you did say that journal speak was, you know, the real game changer for you, which makes tremendous sense to me, of course, because it's we stop putting a Band-Aid on a tumor, right? We're digging into what really needs to be excavated in order for us to have total wellness. Did you find any resistance at all? Like, if you have any tips, you know, tips and tricks for anybody who's trying to do this?
You know, sometimes I would sit there and I would feel like I wouldn't have anything to write. So I would like just have a word, like one word. And it could be a cuss word. There were lots of times where I typed fuck over and over again.
Good job. Got it.
And then things would start flowing. Or it could be a positive word like peace. But sometimes I would just hone in on whatever like word was kind of flowing through my mind or that I was sensing. And then like I love to write. So sometimes it was very poetic. Sometimes it was horrible, not horrible, because I hate to even like put things in good, bad, because it is what it is. And it needed to come out. So, yeah, I mean, if people are struggling, I would say like, you know, just sit with it and just give it a try. I mean, I know a lot of people, like I said, I'm a teacher, students don't like to write. They're always like, why do we have to do this? You know, so, you know, humans, adults sitting trying to do this work, they're probably like, why do I have to do this? Why can't I just, you know, get somebody to fix me? But I promise you, if you take the time and you care for yourself, and Nicole's inner child work is amazing, and inner child work in general is amazing. So if you really can tap into that, like that's actually part of my language now too. Is not just like the journal speak and, you know, letting go of anything that I feel like I'm hanging on to, but is also just nourishing the little Betsy within me and constantly speaking to her in a positive way and honoring who she is, where she is, and, you know, not speaking those negative things. to Yeah, her.
Well, that's actually a great point. And let's talk about that for a moment, because I think the reason that our personalities are so difficult. So when I say our personalities, of course, not everyone listening to this podcast is exactly the same. But what I've found over 20 plus years of doing this with people is there are threads that are so similar between people that tend to somaticize their feelings, okay, for lack of a better word, for people that their nervous systems feel that it's the safest space to offload some of this emotional world into a physical experience. And several of those traits, we mentioned them before, perfectionism, goodism, wanting to be seen as a good person, having it feel very important that people see mm-hmm. you as a good person, codependency, feeling like you're not okay unless everybody's okay, feeling like you're here to do and to be for other people. And there's a dark side to codependency that I have felt and continue to feel tremendously in my life. I think it's being raised by sort of a rageaholic father that's got me here, but I truly struggle to have a good time, even a little bit, if other people are unhappy, especially other people that either I care for or that I'm responsible for. So it could be someone like one of my kids' friends. But if I have kids over here and one of them is like in a mood or like making it unpleasant for others, it's like I can't have a good day. And that is – well, I mean, I've changed a lot and I've come a long way. But, you know, I think that's a big part of a lot of people's personalities is just, you know, some people are tremendous people pleasers, you know, where like it's just – it feels like survival that other people are okay. And so, you know, things like this tend to require a tremendous amount of emotional repression. And the inner child work, the way it speaks to this is that, and I'm actually interested, Betsy, in your experience of it. My experience of inner child work is, yes, it is speaking to my little girl inside, but it's so much about listening to her, because the reason that she is so shut down is because when I was growing up, I don't know about you, nobody wanted to hear how I felt about anything. And I don't even honestly blame them, because my parents were in their struggles. They were trying to get through life. And now as a parent, I really get it. And sometimes it's really inconvenient to stop what you're doing and ask a kid to really, truly tell you how they're feeling. Now, I live that way with my kids, even though it's hard for me, because I understand that the benefit of it and how imperative it is. But my parents didn't do it. They just, you know, it was not part of our relationship to have long conversations about how their choices and their lives were affecting me. And so I did a lot of repression there. And so listening to my inner child has tremendously changed my experience of being alive, because all of those personality characteristics have calmed so much in being able to finally have been heard. So how does it translate for you?
Well, real quick, I just did want to say that, like, I'm very empathetic. And for many years, like, I always was like, why do I feel things differently than other people? Why can they just let it go? And maybe they don't. They just seem like they do. But, you know, part of my journal speak, I realized, I should say, in the process of journal speaking, I realized that it's a gift, but I had to learn how to, I guess, have good boundaries around my empathetic ways and how I care for others. And I'm sure a lot of people struggling with pain and trying to, you know, that might happen upon your work are also extremely empathetic, and they feel at a different level than maybe most people do.
I would say I hear that a lot.
Yeah. So for the inner child work, you know, I started doing inner child work many, many years ago, way before I happened upon your work, but I love what you offer as well. You know, I've done, I've done shamanic journeys. I've had people talk you through different times in your life of like connecting with that person that, you know, at different ages. So I guess I kind of might need you to ask the question again, but it's been part of my life for a really long time, is connecting to my inner child, listening. I do listen, speaking, you know, it's it's a relationship.
Right.
And it sounds probably weird to some people. I, you know, I'm a little woo-woo and I'm okay to admit that. But yeah, it just becomes part of you, like the journal speaks.
You know, and it does sound weird to some people, but like I'm here to unweird the weird because, yeah. You know, the reason we're stuck in the space we're stuck in as human beings and especially as Westerners, you know, because in Eastern cultures, being weird is not so weird. But in some Eastern cultures, but in Western culture, we're so freaking buttoned up. We're so concerned with not being strange and not being different and not being too touchy-feely or too vulnerable. Or, you know, Brené Brown has broken down so many barriers when it comes to the power of vulnerability. And like, so I'm just not afraid to be strange and to say being weird is not that weird. And if you know, and also we start with the end in mind. And if the end in mind is that you can have the freedom to say, yeah, you know, I like the journal speak group, but I don't go there much anymore because, you know, I'm all better and I'm able to go live my actual life. If we want the freedom to say, yeah, my son's a pain in the ass, but you know, I get my journal speak out and then we have this fantastic relationship and I can support him. You know, I can do yoga, I can exercise, I can teach, you know, high schoolers and get the beauty and the benefit of connecting with them. If that's what you want, however that applies to your life, sometimes you got to do the weird shit.
You do. Yeah, and I'm okay. I mean, I'm sure most people think I'm weird, and I embrace that. I embrace my weirdness.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's – and I do want to offer some more hope. And so years ago, I used to be a trail runner. I used to run like a series of trail races. And then my son got older and pretty busy with activities. As you know, kids keep us busy. So we couldn't – I couldn't get my miles in and all that stuff. And then, you know – I stopped trail running. I would occasionally go out and into the trails that I like because nature really is what keeps me feeling connected. I think that's my spiritual connection in this world. But anyway, I stopped for a long time, but I started again in August just to give people hope. Like I'm out running again. I'm running as much as I can, you know, and yeah, I'm not as fast as I used to be. I'm 44, I'll be 45 this year. My body has changed and I'm okay with that. But I'm not living in that chronic pain anymore and I can do things that bring me joy. So, you know, it might take some time. And if you're questioning, you know, why is this happening to me? You know, just try to do the work. And like Nicole always says, I think you say like, trust, patience and kindness and do the work.
Yeah. Believe, patience and kindness and do the work. Trust is also right up there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, I always remind myself of that, like, I just have to continue to chip away. It's a daily chipping away. And some days are better than others. But I really feel like I have overcome quite a bit in my life.
Absolutely. And I will say also that, you know, you clearly are not too resistant to this kind of concept, you know, because I think that people oftentimes say one of the criticisms I get in this podcast is they feel like people are like, too quickly better, you know, like people are like, well, I it's taking me years and I don't like it to hear that people, you know, several months later are already free. And I want everybody who's listening to this to just understand that have self-compassion, you know, have kindness, hand over heart, double hand over heart for yourself. You know, Betsy may, if you've been doing inner child work for years, it means that you were already mentally an open door for this work when it presented itself to you, you know, and not everybody's like that. You know, we're not all raised and we're not all open to the quote unquote weirdness and the ability to open our minds past what we've always been taught. The Western medical model is very separate. Mind and body are separate. And so just give yourself some grace and give yourself some self-compassion, because I do believe that that is a big factor in the believe slash trust. I'll add your word in, Betsy, because I do think it matters. I mean, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but I also do think that, like, it wasn't just like a quick healing for me. I mean, when I look back, yeah, the final leg of it was really quick. But when I look back on my life, like, I've been in pain on and off as long as I can remember. So that's why, you know, the quote that I put on your page, and you probably have it in front of you, is, you know, it took me years to walk into the woods. Like, I didn't just walk out immediately. Like, it's taken time. I mean, like I said, I'm almost 45 years old. You know, I mean, I went through a lot as a late teen. Like I said, I don't just to, I'm a very private person, so I have a hard time sharing things that are really private. So, you know, I had a lot of trauma on and off in my life, little T, which leads to big T trauma. I was a single parent for many, many years, carrying everything, financial burdens, trying to do everything on my own. So like, it wasn't just an overnight thing. So if people, you know, if that happens to people, oh, that's awesome. It's a miracle. But when I look back on it, the journal speak, meeting you, doing your work, that was like the last leg of my race. And it's not over yet.
No, and it never is. It's not over for me, and it never will be. And I love that you said that. And that actually makes me feel really good for people to hear that, because guys, like, this is a human life. This is what we're here for. Okay. Sorry. I really am, because I'm sorry for myself all the time that I have to be a human being, because it hurts and it's hard and it's challenging, and it's exhausting, and it pushes you and stretches you to the limit. And that's what we're here for. You know I've recently said it in a podcast, the obstacles in the path are the path. Like, here we are. And that's the reason that being alive is so beautiful and fruitful and rich, because we get to pause and be in the space of our challenges and then overcome them. And that's what we're all here for. So, you know, every bit of it, even the hard parts, will in the rearview mirror be meaningful to you. And I don't know, I have yet to meet someone when they're finally at a space of presence and of understanding of their journey. I have yet to meet someone that says, no, I would throw out that obstacle. I wish I never lived through it. I just haven't met someone yet, because by the time you reach the other side of the shore, you know, and you're standing there and you're not struggling to swim and not go under, you realize, my goodness, but look at what it's opened in me. Look at what it's created and what it's manifested in terms of my ability to be present and to connect and to love. You know?
Definitely. And I do think that my journal speak practice has also allowed me to speak outwardly what I believe to be true. Like, for a long time, I think I played small. I didn't share my opinion. Like, you know, even like, for example, in a relationship, in a personal, like a romantic relationship, or even with your child, like, you know, I might be like thinking it, but I don't want to say it because I was scared or I had fear or whatever. But my journal speak practice has allowed me to say the things I need to say with kindness and compassion, but at least say it, because if we hold it in forever, it just turns into physical symptoms.
It does. It does. And that's where I have to say, it's not weird. It's just truth. It's just brain science that, you know, and I often quote Gabor Mate when he says, when the body says no, or Bessel van der Kolk when he says, the body keeps the score. Like, I'm not the only one out there saying this. This is just truth.
No, those are amazing. I love both of those guys. Yeah. Those are great authors.
Yeah, they're good guys. So Betsy, before I kind of close up, is there anything else that you wanted to share about your journey personally?
Just that, you know, when you find yourself in those dark places, like, know that there cannot be light without the darkness. Like, I cannot tell you how many times I was like, oh my God, I'm never gonna like do the things that I want to do again. Like, for instance, just run. And to some people that might sound like, you know, who cares about that? But that makes me happy, you know, being out in the woods or doing a yoga practice, walking with my family at Disneyland or Disney World. I remember one time I had neuropathy at Disney World and I couldn't walk, and it was horrible, you know. But there is hope, and you know, believe, do the work, and have patience and kindness for yourself, because you're there. You're getting there.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Betsy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
You're welcome. Thank you for all you offer, for free, and then your courses. I actually started the anxiety course, but I actually never completed it because I just felt like I didn't need to. So, but it's an amazing, both of them are amazing courses. You have amazing content, and Dr. Strax, meeting him was great too when I got to go to Chicago.
Yeah, I'm hoping to do another retreat with him at some point. We love each other. We're always talking about how, you know, we love working together because our personalities are so opposite. Uh-huh. He's so chill and he's like so metered, and I'm like, ah! But we're like,
but it's a great balance. I mean, you guys both bring so much to the table when you team up. So that was cool.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, guys. Well, yeah. I know everybody got definitely something out of this interview. Betsy, it was awesome to have you here. And for all of you guys out there, remember that Curable right now, which Dr. Strax is also a member of the team, is offering 2 weeks free where you can try the entire app with, you know, all the brain science, all the exercises, all the meditations, all the interviews. You can try the whole app free. So you just go to www.getcurable.com/Nicole to take advantage of that deal. And if you are enjoying the podcast, if you could go over to iTunes and rate and review it, that is so helpful in helping people find the podcast. And until next time, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast. See, look, embracing imperfection. I'll see you guys next week. All right, bye-bye.